A science story, huh?
Is NYU scientist the...
I felt it.
It was that golden moment.
Because science was on my side.
Hey everyone, I'm Ben Lilly, and welcome to the Story Collider, where we bring you true stories of how science has affected people's lives. I'm excited. This week, we just passed 1 million downloads of our podcast. Thank you all so much for listening and for making this a great time. To celebrate that, we're doing a few things. First, we send this podcast out every week to all of you, and we don't really know who you are. People will say to us, like, who listens to your podcast? Are they scientists? Not scientists? And we don't know. And we'll do things and we'll think, we wonder if people will like this. And we don't know. So we're doing a survey. So you can tell us a bit about you, as well as the things you like and don't like, and things that we can do better. To find it, you can go to our homepage, storycollider.org, which, second thing, has just been redesigned. So if you go there now, you can see what the events and storytellers look like, listen to the podcast from the homepage, and see all of the upcoming events. Currently, August 27th in Boston and September 4th in New York. And while you're there, there's about 5 people who give parts of their time to producing the show and the podcast, and we've each written a bit about what it's like working on the show. So you can also see those there linked from the homepage. Finally, and apologies for the long intro. Finally, we were thinking about what the right story to run at a milestone like this is, and we realized something. We have never run the very first story told at the very first Story Collider. There's a reason for that. The story's great, but at the time, we didn't know that this would be a thing. We didn't know that there'd be a podcast. We didn't know there'd even be a second event. We did have the foresight to record the event. We did not, however, have the skill to record it well. So, apologies for the bad sound quality, the very bad sound quality, but this is a very fun story, the first one ever told. We hope you will like it. So, this week's story is from Darcy Burke. The story was recorded in May 2010 at the Creek and the Cave in Long Island City, Queens. The theme of the night was bonding.
Hey guys. So, my name is Darcy Burke, and I'm obsessed with mountain lions. And I don't mean obsessed the way that some people are obsessed with Pinkberry or something like that. I mean obsessed in the way that I alienate my circle of friends and family. And as with, like, all good things that are weird about me, I can trace this back and blame it on my mother, because she was the one who gave me the book. And the book, which is known to the people who have gotten to know me within the last year of my life, is the Mountain Lion book. And the actual title of it is The Beast in the Garden, and it's by this guy named David Barron. And it's basically a case study of Boulder, Colorado, and overall the reappearance of the mountain lion in the American West, and what that means for, like, human-mountain lion relations. This is a great book. I can't emphasize that enough. This is the kind of book that, I think of certain things I learn or certain things that teach me as, like, a pebble. Like, and they drop in, and from them comes this, like, ripple effect. And you learn this one thing, and then there's these concentric circles around it of other things you learn, but only because you learned that one thing. And you wouldn't have necessarily come across these, like, circles of knowledge if you hadn't had that initiating event. And so for me, the Mountain Lion book is that. It's how I know about the presidency of Theodore Roosevelt, and it's how it's how I reevaluated Edward Abbey's, you know, views on conservation. And it's how I know about the coyote packs that live in Central Park. And I wish I could say that this is the first incident of me becoming obsessed with something, but it's not. because when I was in middle school, I got really obsessed with Robin Hood, and because of that, I took up archery. And then when I was right out of college, I watched all of The West Wing from beginning to end, and that resulted in a six-month congressional internship. And it's not even the first run-in with, like, animals, because I have... This one summer I spent when I was in middle school where I camped out every night in a lawn chair reading Jane Austen, trying to see the bears that would attack our trash every night. And I also, this is really super embarrassing, but I also have this page in my notebook where I write down helpful animal imagery. The best of these is about ducks. See, because ducks have this thing in their feathers, they have this oil that allows them to wick off moisture. And I always think of this when something hurtful happens. I'm like, oh, think of the ducks, think of the ducks. The ducks wouldn't let that get to them. The ducks would just pick that off. These things have happened before, but nothing has been quite on the scale of the mountain lion obsession. And the part of how you know this is immediately after reading this book, I just talked about mountain lions all the time. And I would just look for reasons to, like, bring them up. And it would be to the point where people would ask me the standard question, like, oh, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm great. You want to talk about mountain lions? Which they never do, but I would always ignore it and, like, keep going and talk some more about mountain lions. Because, all right, let's get real here. All right, mountain lions are fucking awesome. Okay? Mountain lions are, like, the serial killers of the animal world. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, mountain lions. All right, okay, if you get attacked by a mountain lion, first of all, he's been stalking you for at least 2 hours. They don't just attack willy-nilly. Like, they follow you. And if you're walking along a path that you take on a regular basis, like, say, a jogging trail in Southern California, he's been watching you possibly, like, 2 weeks prior. That's how much effort they put into it. And when a mountain lion attacks you like a cat would. He breaks your neck from behind, and then he will flip you over, shave off the, like, hair on your belly, or, like, remove the clothes, and then slit you open with a single claw, which they have found mountain lion kills that they'd had to abandon before they could eat it, and they can't tell sometimes whether it's, like, a scalpel or a mountain lion that killed you. And then they're going to go in, and they're going to eat your internal organs, because that's the most nutritious part first, and then they're going to stuff you full of, like, leaves and twigs and stuff to preserve the body, drag it back to their, like, little lair, and save you and feast off of you for, like, the rest of the month. And they're super adaptable. Like, mountain lions as we know them are not the mountain lions we heard of yore, like in Teddy Roosevelt's presidency. Mountain lions as now are adapting, they are changing, and they are switching their hunting patterns. They are coming into our towns and cities, and they are attacking people, but only because the people are there. They're just switching. They're super adaptable. And so, for me, for some reason, I am identifying really strongly with a mountain lion, the serial killer of the animal world. Because it's better for me at this point in my life to think of myself as like a lone wildcat who's calculating and only a little bit sociopathic, as opposed to being just yet another, like, lonely 20-something trying to make it in New York City. So I love mountain lions, and I talk about mountain lions, and the way I talk about them is the way that somebody who has a really big crush on somebody talks about them. They work every, like, conversation back to it. So, like, someone would be like, hey, I like margaritas. I'm like, yeah, you know who else likes margaritas? Mountain lions. Except they probably don't drink them, but they like deer, and we should be worried about the population of deer in our urban centers, because that's why we're seeing more of them, because that's their food source. And I signed up for a newsletter called Cougar Clippings. Monthly, and I have a folder in my Gmail account entitled Mountain Lions, and that's where all of those live. And I try and spread the word as much as possible, and I've made almost every member of my immediate family read the Mountain Lion book, and we're moving on to people beyond my immediate circle. And I also have a Twitter account, which I only post mountain lion facts on. I wish I could say that there was one moment where I was like, this has gone too far. But there is my favorite moment, which is an example of it going too far, which is towards the end of the summer, I'm in a bar, and I'm talking to a relatively attractive guy, and we're really hitting it off. And for some reason, I have hoodwinked him into thinking that I am like a socially normal person, and he's actually interested in me. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, I decided that this point in the conversation is the point when I should say, hey, you want to see something cool? Reach into my bag and pull out the photograph I have of a fresh kill with a mountain lion feasting on it. Sent it to me earlier that day, because not only am I the person who pulls out the picture of the fresh kill in the bar, but I'm the person who people send the picture of the fresh kill. And the truth is, this has happened before, because when I was obsessed with Robin Hood, I took up archery, and I was photographed for our hometown newspaper wearing a horrible plaid, like, overshirt with a glow-in-the-dark kiss t-shirt on, like, shooting a target, and I was teased for an entire year over that. And when I was obsessed with the West Wing, I went and did that congressional internship, and the one time I met the congressman, he asked me why I was doing the internship, and I replied, oh, I don't know, I'm just here for the letterhead, which in retrospect was like a super West Wing thing to say, but they just thought it was disrespectful to the congressional representative for the 3rd District of Colorado. And I'm here again because I just pulled out a picture of a mountain lion eating a deer in a bar when a guy was trying to pick me up. And I wish I could say that I've learned my lesson and that that moment of self-actualization and knowledge has changed everything for me. But the truth is that I just finished a book about rats. And the 34th Street Station has some really good ones, guys. Thank you.
That was Darcy Burke. Darcy is a comedian and writer in New York City. She is the host of The Glockdown for The Glock, the Gorgeous Ladies of Comedy. You can find that at TheGlock, TheGlock.com. For more science stories, take a look at StoryCollider.org, where we have archives of the podcast and upcoming events. The Story Collider is produced by me, Brian Wecht, Aaron Barker, and Ari Daniel. The podcast is produced by Rose Aveleth. Additional help from Brooke Williams, Lena Groger, and Justin D'Ambrosio. The theme music is by Ghost. Special thanks to The Creek and the Cave for hosting the show, and to a grizzly bear for being the scariest thing I've ever seen in the woods. And actually, that was still pretty scary. And finally, thank you all so much for listening. Here's to the next million, the next 10 million, billion, whatever. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.